I didn't have my microphone on. Oh, that's not a joke.
Mine's on.
I was like, man, my shit is really low. I was kind of like turning it up. Works better when you turn the switch on. What's up? This is Movies On Up. The saga continues. Continuing to be my co-host is Mr. Dave Bisella.
Still here.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. The saga continues is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guest to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guest on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guest to us @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and we choose you, we will return a prize package directly to your mailbox. I was going to say it might make it in time for the end of the year, but it won't.
Like tomorrow.
Yeah. Actually, by the time this
goes
up. Unless
you drop it off on your way home.
No. By the time this goes up, Happy New Year. We are officially in
2020.
We are in 2019 today. Dave has a problem with years, if you haven't noticed. Although he was correct. As we sit, we are wrapping up our 2019 episodes, and what we've done the past couple years is a Star Wars episode at the end of the year, followed by our favorites of the year. So that'll be next week. This week, Star Wars :episode 9 - The Rise of Skywalker
comma Parabellum
Electric Boogaloo came out a couple weeks ago. This is a movie that I desperately wanted to have, or wanted to like enough to put on my end of the year list. And I will start off by saying that I liked it, but to find out how much I liked it, I guess you'll have to come back next week. But I have a feeling if you listen to our Star Wars episode from 2 years ago for The Last Jedi, another movie that I really wanted to like a lot, because at that point I really did, and I still do, like Rian Johnson as a filmmaker, but I did not care for that movie. And Dave was on the other side. He was a guy.
I liked The Last Jedi a lot. I liked it a lot. Like,
and 2 years later, you still do?
I still like Last Jedi, yeah.
Fair enough. I didn't expect to convince you that it was a garbage movie in the 2 years, and nothing has convinced me in 2 years that I like it any better. But in case you don't know, The Rise of Skywalker, we come at from a little bit different perspectives. I am a Star Wars nerd to the nth degree, have been my entire life. Dave is a fellow that likes and appreciates Star Wars.
Well, here's the thing, is we are very different. Like, Star Wars is very important to me my whole life.
Right.
Like, I grew up... My brother and I, that's what we had in common. There was a big age gap between us. We had Star Wars in common. And then my early adult life is when Phantom Menace came out. That made me lose the love a little bit, but I still always loved the original three. And then this franchise was announced as my brother was in his final days. It was disappointing that he didn't make it to see any of them, because I know he would have loved them and I would have loved talking to him. So we do come from different aspects, though, because you're a Star Wars universe nerd. You're into the shows, the fan fiction, not the fan fiction, the books.
It is now. I mean.
Yeah, the books, all that stuff. You go to the convention, you have in the past. I'm a big Star Wars guy of the movies.
That's what your Star Wars is.
My Star Wars is episode 4 through 6 and now 7 through 9. But those movies have been so important to me. So for 6 movies to make that much of an impact on 40 years on this earth, I am a big Star Wars fan, just not the extended universe.
Which I do find that a little bit interesting. Between the two of us, I was born in 1984, so a year after Return of the Jedi was out. So I never, up until the special editions in the late 90s, I never saw a Star Wars movie in the theater in its original run.
You got
two of them? Did you get
my first
Empire?
I think I might have seen Empire, but I mean, I'd have been, what,
young,
2 or 3?
Yeah.
My first memory of going to the movies was Return of the Jedi. Like, that's the first one I remember.
Like, movie period.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that's my first, like, memory of going to the movies. And then on VHS over and over and over again. And then when they were re-released, I was in high school, and buddy Zane and I went. We knew it wasn't going to be busy. Where I grew up, you had to drive 30 minutes to the nearest movie theater that got first-run movies, and it was never busy, but we never got to experience that, like, oh, we're going to camp out for movies.
Right.
So we went at 9 a.m. when the theater doesn't open till like 12 or 1 just to have that experience, and it was just us just sitting in front of the movie theater for hours until they got there, and then we ended up buying tickets for a later show anyway. That was for episode 4 re-release. And, you know, I saw 5 and 6 in the theater that way as well. But Jedi is my first memory of going to the movies.
Yeah, I think I grew up with them on VHS, probably taped off of broadcast television. That's kind of how I ran across them, because in my childhood, it's kind of the dark days of Star Wars. I had missed the original run of the movies, and I was about 13, 14 by the time the prequels came out. So when I was starting to like Star Wars, I was reading the books about the years after Return of the Jedi, where Disney's trilogy takes place. There were, I mean, you go to any bookstore and look at the Star Wars novels that are on the shelf, and predominantly they take place in that time period, the continuing adventures of Han and Leia and Luke and Chewie. That, to me, was my childhood as a Star Wars fan. Yeah, I liked the original trilogy. I still do. But those stories that Disney chose not to adapt, which is fine, but those were kind of my the stories that I was maybe most protective about. So that might color my thoughts on the sequel trilogy. But before we can really talk about the trilogy as a whole, we do need to talk specifically about the third part of it. And that was episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, directed again by J.J. Abrams. He came back to bookend the new trilogy, brought back Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega. You know them all at this point. The movie opened to $177 million that opening weekend. Jumanji, colon, The Next Level, Frozen 2, Cats and Little Women round out your top five that week. Just for reference, $177 million is a really good opening for just about anything. Star Wars, not so much. Let's start with The Force Awakens. Massive opening. It's unfair to compare things.
Well, because you're going to have that. Like, if we go through anything, like, what third movie has opened bigger than
the first?
For something like this. Yeah.
It's not going to happen unless you look at some of the Avengers movies.
Like Infinity War.
Yeah.
But that's unfair. That's not the third. That's the 20th.
Yes. At any rate, I mean, we're talking about, at the time, it was the biggest opening ever. And that was $247 million, which in a fucking weekend is just incredible. And then there was a little bit of a dip for The Last Jedi, a dip of about $27 million to $220. This one, we're looking at about a $50 million dip. It opened to $177 million, which is still a good amount. But I feel like it's kind of what people were expecting for this.
As they've gone, they're less event.
Yeah.
Whereas Force Awakens, you wanted to be their opening night. That was an event 30 years in the making. Like, you needed to see it that weekend. Last Jedi, a little bit, but some of that had worn off. And by this point, I think people are like, yeah, they're fine. I'll see it when I see it. It didn't have that event feeling that especially Force Awakens did.
And I think some of it, if I may, a large segment of the Star Wars fandom were upset with the last movie. For rightly or wrongly, some folks were going to boycott this, and that's, you know, what you do with your dollars is completely up to you. That was not something I was interested in doing. I was mad, but I still, it's a Star Wars movie. How many times in my life am I going to get the opportunity to see something I love this much in the theaters on opening night? So I'm going to do it. And I did it. But I think a lot of it, you had the leaks on the internet, which I didn't read until after I saw the movie. They're pretty close.
I didn't follow any of that.
Like, I didn't follow it at the time because I didn't want to know. I knew somebody that read them, and I would hear, oh boy, if this is true, you're not going to like the movie. And you know what? It was true. I would say probably about 90% of what I read was pretty accurate.
I mean, really,
to the
movie. There's only one moment in this that I think would have been.
And it was in there.
But I mean,
and they
like,
had it.
Affected by being spoiled. And even then,
I'll give you a couple. I mean, the Han Solo thing was not in the leak. Had I read that on the internet somewhere, that would have been a hell of a bummer.
Yeah, see, I guess I don't get, like, Yoda showing up in Last Jedi. Like, it's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
If these characters show up, I'm used to.
Well, I mean,
Han
Yoda
Solo
has,
showing up, it was nice.
Yeah, but he's not a Force ghost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that I didn't expect.
But would it have lessened the experience had I known it was coming? Personally, I don't think so. The only thing is the heritage thing that I think that's really the only thing that was like a, oh, wow, kind of moment for me that I feel like knowing that going in would have affected that.
And I'm just wondering if a lot of guys that were in my position, and that is I didn't like the last movie, I am more than apprehensive about this one. If you read the leaks, maybe that kept people away. Either because, okay, well, now I know what happens. There's no point in going. Or I know what happens and I hate it. I don't want to go. I'm not trying to justify, you know, why the movie made $50 million less. I don't think we have to. I think there's a lot of reasons. There's not one you can pick. But I am not surprised that it opened, this is going to sound stupid, as softly as it did with the 177.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it'll still make a billion. Yes. Like, it'll still make a billion worldwide. It'll still end up a top 11 or 12 movie ever. So Disney's going to be fine.
Yes.
I try to avoid all that because Star Wars really opened up. They didn't invent it, but it really gave an outlet, I guess, for toxic fandom. So I try to avoid all of that just because I don't need that negativity. So
I think,
like,
the internet in general is toxic. You know what I mean?
And oh, like, it a is, lot of for this, sure.
A lot of this toxic, and I agree.
But a lot of it's like, I love this, and this isn't exactly what I wanted, so therefore I hate it.
Yeah.
That's dumb to
it,
me.
It like, is dumb, but I read a review, and we'll get to whether or not we liked this movie. I read a review the night I got home. It was in Forbes, right? So I'm thinking, this is going to be probably mostly just dollars and cents, which, you know, we talk about box office. I am not even kidding when I say that the person that wrote this article hated the movie, which is fine. You can have that opinion. There are things wrong with it. We'll address those too. But primarily hated the movie because it coddled people that didn't like the last one. It said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the generation of fans that didn't like The Last Jedi, we got coddled and we didn't deserve it because we are the generation that elected Trump and George Bush. And
yeah.
What in the fuck do either of those presidents have to do with Star Wars?
That Dark side.
Same generation that elected Obama twice. So, I mean, what is it? You can't be one and not the other. But that's what I mean about toxic internet shit. If you want to write a review about Star Wars, please do. I wanted to read one. I didn't want to read anything about Trump and Bush and George Washington, anybody, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie. But I guess we can't talk about anything nowadays, especially on the internet, without it getting toxic.
A couple points you made kind of boil down to some of my thoughts on.
Before we really pick it apart, do you like the movie?
Yeah. Do okay. I like it? Yeah.
I liked it too.
Did I love it walking out of the theater? I liked it. Did I love Last Jedi walking out of the theaters? Yeah.
Yeah,
did I love
did.
Force Awakens? Yeah. Do I love 4 through 6? Yeah. Did I love this one? Eh. Maybe upon another watch, upon first watch, I liked it a lot. I'm glad I went. I took my daughter who likes Star Wars. We went opening night. I liked it for these movies that have meant so much to me. Like, it was satisfying enough for me as a movie going experience. Will I watch it as much as I've watched Force Awakens and Last Jedi? Probably not. Will I still watch it a lot? Yeah.
I can guarantee you I will see this more in the theaters than I have seen The Last Jedi, period. But that's...
I mean, just overall. Like, I've streamed Last Jedi and Force Awakens a lot. Will this be one of my go-tos? Will it overtake kind of my go-tos right now, or Force Awakens or Rogue One? Like, if I'm putting on a Star Wars movie, like... No, maybe when it first comes out, I'll watch it time or two, but I liked it. I didn't have the love that I usually do for Star Wars movies, but I love John Boyega. I have since Attack the Block. Yeah. So I love him as Finn. Daisy Ridley, I adore. I love Rey. Oscar Isaac, I love Poe Dameron. So I love those three characters. So you gave me those characters being those characters, well, two of them being those characters, and then... Poe Dameron doing whatever he was doing, but he did it well. So I liked it. Like, I like those actors. I like those characters. So you gave me enough of that. Gave me enough shiny lights hitting each other, laser sounds. Gave me enough of everything that I like. Just didn't have that extra.
I kind of agree. To bring it back to the review.
One tweet I saw summed it up perfectly, and I wish I remembered who did it, but it was basically like...
We don't need to give credit here.
Oh, yeah. The Last Jedi is the guy who thinks they know improv. They want to dictate everything, whereas Last Jedi is like, oh my God, we're stuck in a library and there's no power. And then Rise of Skywalker is like, no, we're not. We're at the train station and there's Nazis coming. It's just like Last Jedi did this, and then Rise of Skywalker came and just did completely everything opposite.
It went from yes and to yes but.
To know this.
No, but.
Yeah, no, this. That was my biggest complaint, is that there was a lot of direct attacks almost at Last Jedi. Like, it almost felt hostile in a way. There was some moments where it's not even like subtweeting The Last Jedi. It's basically saying, like, no, that's the one that fucked up. It's like calling it out directly, like, oh,
The Hobbit said the Holdo maneuver.
The Holdo maneuver. It's like, oh, that's a one in a million thing. Yeah. Yeah, your parents were nobody, but their parent. There was just some of those moments to where it's just like, it almost felt too hostile towards the last one. And it just almost felt like it was giving credence to these toxic fans. Oh, you didn't like that? We agree, and we're fixing it with this single line of dialogue and then moving on.
I don't know if it's credence or if it's making a business decision. And that business decision is, do we really want to piss off our base?
And I guess my point is, who cares?
Well,
there's a new, different base out there. Like, the amount
the
of
base is more than like
the
you
amount
know.
Of average people that will go see a Star Wars movie, and it ends, it yes. begins and ends when that movie begins and ends. They far outweigh the that's not how the Force works, nerds.
Like, the needs of the many, to yeah. borrow another line from a different space nerd yeah. saga, outweigh the needs of the few. But I do think that Disney tried to course correct.
And I guess that's where I had a problem with it. I didn't feel like it needed course correct.
Because you liked the last one. Somebody that didn't like the last one appreciated the effort. But I think that caused some problems.
But here's where my problem was with the whole concept of everything. Force Awakens comes out. Oh, it was just like A New yes. Hope. It was the exact same movie. I can't like it because it's the exact same movie as A New Hope. Last Jedi comes out, completely different than any other Star Wars movie, tackles stuff that you would never expect in a Star Wars movie, opens a whole new world in a Star Wars movie. That's too different. That's not my Star Wars. So you're either too different or you're too same. And then Skywalker came out, and it just seemed like it didn't want to be either. It didn't want to be different or the same. It just wanted to exist. And that's how I feel about this movie. It exists. It's fine. I enjoyed it enough, but it didn't leave anything with me.
To start with the problems, the biggest problem that I had with it is Disney's initial decision when they wanted to make this new trilogy. They had every intention of hiring three separate filmmakers, and they did. And they empowered those guys to make their own Star Wars movies. Somehow, they thought, out of three different guys, they were going to get a cohesive story. And I just don't ever think that was possible. You had 7 to 8 hours to tell a trilogy, which George Lucas did essentially twice with differing results. But at least that was one guy's story. Different directors, but one guy's story. Well, yeah, for the most part. But he was still broad strokes. Yeah. And then Luke does this. With these three guys, well, to start out with three guys,
it didn't feel like there was a through line.
No, it didn't.
There was a Spider-Man comic that came out this year that was a really cool idea. It was like eight different creative teams, and the writers and artists wrote so many pages, the next people read those pages and just continued it, and it went. And like, it was just like eight different teams. They could only read the one that came right before them. And it was really, really cool. And that's a cool kind of approach.
For a comic book.
Yeah. I don't think it can work for this. I think there needs to be some sort of through line. And you can still get those different voices in there. But you have to have certain moments that you hit, like mile markers.
Right.
That give you a direction. And Johnson did take it a completely different direction than Abrams did. And I thought that was cool. And maybe Trevorrow would have went somewhere else, or somebody else would have went followed along where Johnson was, but then you just have JJ come back and just go back. And I mean, I don't miss Colin Trevorrow's version. I don't care enough about him, but I do think that getting a different voice in there for that third one would not have been a bad idea. I think JJ was perfect for 7. When they first announced it, it was like, oh, who do you even get other than JJ Abrams, right, who's busy with Star Trek? We had that conversation. And they got him. Mm-hmm. He was perfect. For episode 7, you could go J.J. Abrams or Joss Whedon. Yeah. Those, I think, are the only two. But say for episode 9, you go J.J. Abrams, you go on to Rian Johnson, who does something different. Somebody like Matthew Vaughn, who's...
That was one of our dream hires anyway.
You get somebody like him in there, this inventive really good storyteller who's not afraid to take
hindsight
risks.
Being 2020, Jon Favreau.
Yeah, even Favreau in there. Just a different voice, a third voice in there.
And it's not even so much the voice from the directing. It's just the story voice. Because there's no through line, because you can't tell me.
No, because that, you know what? This Rise of Skywalker feels like a sequel to The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
That's it. A direct sequel to The Force Awakens.
And it, for better or worse, depending on how you look at it, makes the second movie pretty much irrelevant.
It is.
And a waste of 2.5 hours.
What happened in The Last Jedi that matters in Skywalker?
Luke's
other than
dead.
Luke dying. Yeah.
That's really it.
What do we take out of Last Jedi that is relevant in...
Kylo and Rey can talk to each other over vast distances.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal for this movie.
It just felt like a direct follow-up to Force Awakens.
That they were making up.
And tried to
forget. On the fly.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me, and I've heard Daisy Ridley say, oh, I thought my parents were obvious from... No, it wasn't. I don't believe... And unless I see it stamped and notarized, I don't believe there was ever a thought to bring back the Emperor until after Rian Johnson's.
Killed Snoke.
Yeah, and it seemed very much like, oh shit, what are we going to do now? Because they retconned everything that Johnson did, but we have this character of the Emperor that's such a big deal. He's got to be in the third movie. He's got to be in it quickly. I think it created a scenario where by burning 2 hours of an 8 hour total, 2.5 hours, the first half of this movie was the most rushed. It was like watching the final season of Game of Thrones. And I knew it was going to be like that going in, but I was ill prepared for just how quickly. It's the first fucking line in the crawl.
The dead
Emperor's
speak,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, shit. Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of that has to do
with having to tell,
yeah,
I got
to
explain the Emperor being back. I
got to
explain Rey. I got to explain her parents. And I got 2.5 hours to do it.
I'm trying to think of the best. And I mean, Terrio, the screenwriter, he's been quoted recently, is like, I wish we could have split it into two movies.
Harry Potter style.
Harry Potter, Hunger Games, all those. He wishes it could have been a quadrilogy. But I get wanting to keep it down. But the trilogy just needs to be tight. I talked about, for Last Jedi, is there are really good moments in there. Like, even the beginning, Rose's sister or whatever. The fighter at the beginning, that's a good moment. That's a big, emotional, impactful moment. Holdo doing that. There are really...
Committing a war crime.
Yes. There are really good moments throughout that movie. And I remember thinking, like, oh, 5 or 6 times, there were, like, moments that gave me goosebumps that got me amped up. Rise of Skywalker was me waiting for those. I didn't feel the emotional impact of anything. The biggest moment to me was the Avengers Endgame moment, which I had just seen a few months ago with Lando. That was the biggest moment to me. It was great. Poe's ready to give up. That was a cool moment. I'd seen it before this year. But I mean, that doesn't take away from it. Like, it still fit and it still was nice. But like, I didn't have any.
Because there wasn't any.
No.
And
I
the
felt
ones
like...
that were in there and supposed to be in there, because of the pacing, everything went by so quickly, you didn't get time to sit there and be like, oh, you mean Chewbacca's actually dead? And then and then they just said, ah, no, we gotcha.
Yeah.
He's not. C-3PO's
like...
they're going to do it?
Oh,
no,
no,
they're not.
Like,
no.
If that was the thing, is he's even retconning his own stuff. That's where the whole no, this improv comes in. You do something that's a big deal, and then, oh, no. There's a backup.
Yeah, we fixed it. I mean, even the Leia thing. I mean, obviously, with Carrie Fisher passing, we knew that her character was going to die in the movie. They were going to have to explain that somehow. As much as I appreciate her and what she did for Star Wars, like, she's always going to be... She's right
love,
up there with Luke Skywalker.
I just
as far
love
as, like,
her.
Yes,
too, yeah,
absolutely.
Like, so I know she's passed, and I know that most of it was fake, but still, just something about seeing...
Princess
Carrie
Leia
Fisher,
in a Star Wars movie, yes.
The hug where you refuse to show Leia's face.
But it was just... I mean, it looked and felt shoehorned, and it felt like Fat Parkman was acting against a green screen. I understand why they wanted to have Leia in the movie. She's the one that finishes training Rey as a Jedi. That had to be done. I almost wish that could have been a different way, because when she does actually pass, we're going light speed. We don't get a chance to sit there. I mean, that was honestly some of the best acting in the movie was from fucking Chewbacca. when he finds out that literally everyone he's ever cared about is now dead.
Yeah. Everything else suffered from that. The news a couple days ago mentioned Rose Tico's minor part because of the Carrie Fisher CGI being so hard. And I get that because you wanted to give Billy Lord a little bit of a bigger role than she had in, like, The Force Awakens.
But didn't somehow?
She got to say the final line. That I liked as a Carrie Fisher fan, but I don't understand why Dominic Monaghan was in this movie.
All, everything he did was an could extra. Have been he Billy was a Lord. Right.
He's a glorified extra.
Because he has a Star Wars tattoo. Well, get in line, pal.
He's not this massive star, but you recognize him.
Right.
So when you see somebody like that and you recognize them in your head, it's like, oh, they're going to be a bigger part. They're going to come into play sometime later. No, he was an extra with a few lines that could have went to Billy Lord, to Rose Tico.
Right.
You could have eliminated him completely and just had Rose do what he did. It didn't make any sense to me. It was seemed like a Make-A-Wish thing. Like, instead of getting a Stormtrooper cameo like everybody else
like Ed
got,
Sheeran.
Dominic Monaghan got, like, hey, you won. You get a speaking
part.
Like, NSYNC
got to be Jedi.
You got the speaking
not
part.
Not only did they not cut his part out.
You get a speaking part in the latest Star Wars movie.
And yeah, I mean, for me, it does go back to pacing. Every time you put in a character like that, you're adding new characters into a mix that we already have so many that we need to get sorted out. Really specifically, the two that we entered this movie needing to sort out, I guess they kind of killed two birds with one stone. We needed to find out who Rey's parents were. And after seeing the trailer and realizing the Emperor was back, we needed to figure out what that's all about. And I really think that the movie didn't do an excellent job or even a passing job of explaining either of those things. I mean, if you thought the Snoke explanation in episode 8 was truncated and you felt unfulfilled from that.
It was just rushed. And I mean, Star Wars isn't one for post-credit scenes, but what if at the end of Last Jedi, you just have the Emperor laugh? Just at the end. You don't even have to have a scene, but just something at the very end of the credits that's just that Emperor laugh. Anything like that
and
that leads
honest,
up to the dead speak.
Right. And had that happened in 8, yes. Or if instead of spending an hour on the casino with
Bright
Justin
whatever.
Thoreau,
Canto Bight,
we would have had the introduction of the Emperor so that you didn't have to rush it in this one. Because to be honest, I'm still not sure, was the Emperor in this movie, was he a clone? Or was he the real Emperor and he left a clone behind on the second Death Star?
I didn't understand it. And if it,
and I need to.
It didn't make any sense. Did he survive death, essentially? Was this a spirit?
Or that,
and he needed... Guy took it as, like, he was more of a spirit, and he needed the power of Rey and Kylo to kind of become whole again. Now that they killed him, what's to stop it from happening again? All those other Sith that were there, those were all dead Sith. So are we saying that Sith can't die? That 30 years later, they could still just kind of be there? If he was having this plan and, like, created Snoke and everything, why is it taking so long? If you're this powerful and now all of a sudden you have planet-killing powers just on a Star Destroyer, like, all of that stuff, just there's no logic. It just didn't make any sense.
Not only did it not make sense, it just wasn't explained. So Rey's parents were, we didn't even get their names, but it was the Emperor's son. All right, so when did he do that? Was it when he was a senator before he got disfigured in Revenge of the Sith? Was it after he was evil and
did
ugly and
Jedi impregnate somebody? Like, can he just force impregnate somebody? Like, I don't...
Maybe he did that with Anakin. I don't know. Yeah. I guess regardless of how it happened, it happened. Okay, fine. I'm willing to give you a little bit of leeway because of how quick this is. But we mentioned the guy... I don't even know what the hell his name was. Mr. MacGuffin with the knife that was a Jedi hunter who Palpatine sends to find Rey. Am I to infer from that that somehow Palpatine's son was a Jedi? Or was it just like, oh, you're really good at hunting down Jedi. You'll have no problem with my kid?
These plain folk, yeah.
Well, why did you need that guy? I just kind of felt like there needed to be some kind of explanation other than, you're my granddaughter. The audience doesn't know I had a son, let alone a granddaughter, but
I get that, like, okay, to bring balance, you have a Palpatine and a Skywalker.
Sure.
But it just felt lazy how they got to it.
lazy how they got to it because they didn't have the time. Because I hate to keep bringing it back, but it is what it is. You have 8 hours to tell a cohesive story that they never wrote. They didn't write the third act of the play until after the audience had already seen the first two acts.
It seems like Wayne's World 2. They just wanted to fast track it, so they started filming before there was a script. Yeah. That's how this whole trilogy feels, is that they just wanted to make it, but there wasn't a plan. And
because they had a release date already.
Yeah, it was every 2 years, so you didn't have any time for, I don't know, it just felt off. I did like it. It's a Star Wars movie. To me, it was a fine conclusion. Could it have been a lot better? Could it have made a bigger impact and ended up one of my favorite movies ever? Yeah.
Explain to me the Emperor stuff, and I think I like it a lot more because I'm leaving the theater understanding how he was pulling the strings the whole time. I do think that despite all the shortcomings in the pacing and the plot, which are absolutely there, and I understand from a critical standpoint, if people shit on the movie, it's deserved with those two things. But from an enjoyment, from a Star Wars standpoint,
it was fun.
Yeah, the opening, I mean, it makes you dizzy, but it is kind of fun. The missions where Rey and Finn and Poe and Chewbacca all go on, I mean, that felt like Han, Leia, Luke.
That was a lot of it. That's one of the things it did right,
yeah,
is that it had Poe and Finn and Rey together, which Last Jedi had them all separate. It separated all of them. So I did like seeing those three together for the majority of the movie.
And then we got to see somebody like me, when I see The Force Awakens, I do have questions. Like, what is Lando doing? He's just on the same level as Han Solo. We understand what Han's been doing. I got to find out what Lando's been doing. I got that. Another guy just as responsible as Lando for destroying the second Death Star, Wedge. Where's he been at? What's he doing? Oh, all right. Here he is. He's on the Falcon now in the final battle. That's great. Those were very fan servicey. But even when they had all the voices of the Jedi, you know, I love
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah. By bringing in Caleb Doom.
And it was
and
new
Ahsoka.
Lines, too. They
yeah.
weren't just
lines.
They had
cartoons,
them.
Yeah.
They had them record stuff because right. they spoke directly to Rey.
Yes.
Instead of just pulling lines that they'd already done, which I thought was awesome.
And by rewarding people that watched Rebels, Kanan now made it into the finale. Ahsoka is on the same level as Yoda and Obi-Wan and Anakin. That's pretty heavy. And I love Alec Guinness. I didn't particularly care for the two different Obi-Wans doing lines. They're the same guy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, but everything else, I thought that was a cool scene. I mean, somebody's, again, on explanation, now that I know that Ahsoka's dead, Disney, you're going to have to explain that to me. Now she's a character, the likes of Qui-Gon Jinn and Mace Windu. I saw how they die. You wrote a check that eventually somebody's going to come collect. I'm going to need to see the end of Ahsoka. And I've been saying that for, Jesus, since Clone Wars
That's
went off the
Disney
air.
Disney Plus comes in.
Yeah, fine.
She'll get her own show.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that because I like that character. And I think it's awesome that they put her in that pantheon. But I think they did a lot of stuff that did make it feel like Star Wars. And it did make it feel universe inclusive. We got to see the ghost in that giant armada of trash or whatever General Pride called him. That was a cool scene. For the people like me that were complaining at the beginning of The Last Jedi why they used those bombers and didn't use the B-wings that attacked and destroyed the second Death Star, hey, here's B-wings. We get it. We hear you. Here's all this stuff. I really felt like it was an olive branch. And at least to me, it succeeded in that the best it could have. This movie was never going to be able to fix all of the problems. The fact that Disney positioned this movie as we're going to tie up essentially three trilogies. As soon as they made that claim, I thought it was Mission Impossible. I can't imagine anybody doing it any better, I guess.
I didn't like the finality preaching of it, like,
yeah.
Because I didn't like that, like, the whole saga comes to it. Like, I didn't like that aspect of it. Just
the whole saga, in fairness, was wrapped up in 1983.
Yeah, as far as the course correction and the fan service and stuff, it just felt like you're trying to win over people that you already lost that aren't coming back. And for what? If this is the last one, who cares? If they come back, just do something with it that's different and cool. You already lost them, and I did like it. Seems like I'm being very, very negative about it. I don't mean to be. I liked it. I loved sitting there watching it in a packed theater. It just didn't hit me like the others have.
Maybe part of that is the finality, because that's it. With The Force Awakens, we're left with a stoic Luke Skywalker. We finally get him. It's like, oh my God, I can't wait for the next one. We're going to get to see Luke Skywalker do stuff. And then The Last Jedi came out, and you liked it a lot. Okay, let's see where it goes from here. And even somebody like me, all right, I didn't like that, but we got to do something. We got to wrap this up somehow. And Disney paid a lot of money for Star Wars. And obviously they didn't do that if they didn't have intentions of making a new trilogy, which I am more than happy to have more Star Wars. But the idea that Disney, and not George Lucas, they can wrap up their trilogy, it's fine. But I think he already did that with his.
Yeah, and I guess I just...
And to tack it on and say, well, no, we're actually going to end it the right way? Or your ending wasn't the actual ending, despite the fact that whether Star Wars is yours or mine, it was George Lucas's.
Yeah, and I don't mind that. I guess I lost all... I appreciate George Lucas for giving us to it, but I think episodes 1 through 3 were enough to show, like, okay, let's put the story in somebody else's hand. So I'm fine with George Lucas not having any say.
But at that point, his was wrapped up.
Get that, but it's also the whole thing where it's like the Point Break remake doesn't make the original Point Break any less awesome. You know, a sequel, Hangover 2 doesn't make Hangover less funny. So Return of the Jedi could still wrap it up. Mind canon is fine. If in your head 4 through 6 is one thing and it wraps it up, that's fine.
And that's it. That's all you watch.
That's fine. Yeah. That's okay. Or if you could separate them and 4 through 6 is one storyline and 7 through 9 is another, that's fine. Just do you enjoy them?
But like, I think it's the expectations of the finality, because they themselves said, we're wrapping the whole thing up now. I think subconsciously that creates something where you're like, all right, I'm expecting a big climax here, something worth all the hoopla, and we didn't get it. No. I don't know what they could have done that could have fulfilled that.
One of the worst like horror movies you can do is about witches, because what are witches' powers? They could just do whatever, so you don't know what you're facing. Jedi have always kind of had that. So at the end, you basically have these space witches fighting each other. So it's just like hands and it's...
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, I'm moving my hand this way. No, I'm going to move my hand this way. And it's... That's your finality. The space battle above them was cool, but I just would have liked more of a climax other than just handsy moving between Rey and Palpatine. And I get that he was attached to a crane or whatever, but I just... the climax was nothing more than any other Star Wars movie. Like, I feel like the climax of Rogue One was way more impactful than Rise of Skywalker. Not to compare, but you look at Endgame. That final battle, not like any of the other Marvel movies. Maybe Infinity War a little bit, right. But even it cranked it up to 11. So Endgame felt like a finale. There was some finality there. It was this big mega climax that we built to. This didn't have that. I guess I never bought into the stakes. Infinity War, he snapped, he wiped out half of the...
Yeah, being Thanos, and we knew, to paraphrase The Wire, Thanos coming, we've known that for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
The Emperor, we didn't know until 2 hours.
Yeah, so and that's where, just a tease, anywhere through, even Hux saying something in The Force Awakens, when Snoke's disrespecting him, even him acknowledging that, like, not like he's the one pulling the strings anyway, or something like that.
Right.
Like, something to... give you an idea that there's somebody above Snoke. When Snoke dies, somebody acknowledging a different plan.
There is another.
Yeah, the time for another mouthpiece or something like that. Even like I said, the Emperor laugh at the end of The Last Jedi credits. That's all you need. It doesn't have to be a scene, just the Emperor laugh. Anything like that makes it seem like this was planned to. A throwaway line in The Force Awakens and then 2 movies later we're there. That's more build up than we got.
Yeah.
To this.
So now we're in a position to where maybe the Emperor's dead for good this time. Luke's gone. Han's gone. Chewie and the droids are still there, but I think we've seen the finality of their arc. these other guys, Lando and Wedge, they're pretty old, so they're going to be aged out. But the idea that this is going to be the last Star Wars movie, if you believe that, I got a bridge I'd love to sell you. They didn't pay $6 billion to only make essentially five movies. There's more.
There's going
to
be more. And I mean, we got Mandalorian on Disney Plus. We're getting Obi-Wan. That'll start filming in 2020. So I'm curious where the movies go, though. That's the $1 million question, is because
it's the $300 million question.
I said from the beginning that they were taking the wrong approach, because I liked 7, 8, 9. Like, okay, make a new trilogy. Rogue One was cool. Rogue One was, it's a story,
it's a filler
that you knew. I thought it was done well with the Solo, which I loved. I did love Solo. I thought Solo I liked it a lot. They were talking about a Boba Fett movie, an Obi-Wan movie. They were talking about all these movies of characters you already know. And I always said that that's the wrong way to go. And that's why I liked The Mandalorian, because Baby Yoda does the Force thing. What the hell is that? Like, these characters don't know what that is. Where we've just watched 9 movies of everybody knowing what the Force is, and the Force is a big thing. So I like that about The Mandalorian, is like everything's just legends, kind of. I want stuff like that. The character, which is Ahsoka or whatever. Yeah. Do you get a movie? Or is that... I mean, I could see giving it time and then have like a Skywalker Academy series or movie.
Which is, in
movie.
Fairness, what I thought we were going to get with Episode 7.
Which,
Luke Skywalker's Jedi Academy.
Which you don't even have to have Rey in it. These are just Jedis that were trained by Rey, basically trying to police the galaxy. So you could go that route, but you don't want to go too soon, because Rey's still training herself. Mm-hmm. So I don't want a massive time jump, because the time jump between Episode 6 and 7 was natural. Do you revisit it in 25 years with an older Rey? I think there's a lot of places. I feel like they're going to shy away from the trilogies, which I think they should.
Yeah.
I think it should just be hire inventive filmmakers like a Rian Johnson, like a Matthew Vaughn, Edgar Wright. Throw him in there. Give Jon Favreau a bigger toolbox. Get these really good storytellers that know what they're doing.
To tell stories with their characters.
To tell stories in this universe. I loved Rebels. It felt like Firefly in a Star Wars universe. You could make that a movie. Like, not necessarily that, but you could give a movie of that, where here's a smuggler who, similar to Han Solo. Han Solo is not the only one. People like Poe Dameron. These hotshot pilots that are really just kind of looking for a home. I liked the Jonna character. I feel like that whole thing was rushed, but I like that it was this crew of stormtroopers that decided not to do it anymore, and they gave
Finn wasn't the only one.
So how many more are there out there? And a lot of this has to do with fandom, though, because through episodes 1 through 9, there is this all this interconnectability, and that's one thing I thought Rian Johnson did really, really well, was to show other parts in the universe. The kid with the broom is the perfect example. I like the idea that here's just a random kid somewhere who doesn't play into the bigger picture, that is force sensitive, that has maybe force abilities. That's what I want to see. On Twitter this week, John Chu, the guy that directed Crazy Rich Asians, he put out, Disney Plus, let's make a Rose Tico show. Like, he's basically volunteering to make a Rose Tico show. Something like that is in it. She's a mechanic. She's the blue collar in this war. Not everything has to be force related. Not everything has to be Skywalker related. We don't need to revisit characters that we already know. I was afraid Boba Fett would show up in Mandalorian. It doesn't need it. That story stands on its own. Rogue One stood on its own. Like, yeah, the Force was quote-unquote in it, but it wasn't a major factor in the story. I want stories like that.
And I think that Star Wars would probably be best served, at least in the immediate future, doing that. The universe of Star Wars is a big place. There's a lot going on.
The stormtroopers that are still alive, what do they do now? Kind of how in Firefly, Mal was an ex-brown coat. Right. They lost the war. Now he's trying to find a living. You could do that. A group of stormtroopers trying to find a place in this world, to where maybe they're not necessarily bad guys. They're just following orders.
That old argument.
Yeah, exactly. If Hogan's Heroes worked, we can have a stormtrooper story. But like anything like that, there's war and then there's after war. So,
and maybe there's a First Order remnant. To borrow from the books that I love, there was the Imperial Remnant. They were the remnants of the Empire that banded together after the defeat on Endor. So, okay, what do we do?
Or mafia type guys who really were kind of limited in power because they didn't have the force and they didn't have the magic powers. But now that the Sith are basically destroyed, they have the power to like grow. And I mean, it's like the Purge. Like in our Purge episode, we talked about like there's so many things you can do with this storyline, except the Purge isn't a $600 billion franchise. So I feel like we need to mix it up. They can't all be $150 million budget movies. Yeah. Like we can't release every Star Wars movie and hope to open to $150 to $200 million. Give me some smaller movies that are in that universe. They don't all have to be Rise of Skywalker. Just focus on making good movies. And if those movies warrant a sequel, fine.
I think people tend to forget. In 1977, Star Wars has a beginning, a middle, and an end. That story was over. Darth Vader was careening off into the unknown reaches of space. Essentially, all we knew of the Empire blew up when the Death Star was destroyed. We didn't even know who the Emperor was. So, you know, we always talk about trying to build a trilogy when you don't have the legs.
Putting the cart before the horse.
Yes.
If that's how that is.
Yeah. And I think Star Wars is one of those things that, oh, well, we can absolutely do a trilogy because it will be there.
I think every 2 years in between her.
It's hard to say. I mean, the Marvel fatigue. We're getting 2-3 Marvel movies a year.
And that's a valid point because even just this year, we're doing our favorites 2019 next week. And I'm going through movies this year and it's like, oh, Far From Home was this year.
Yes.
Captain Marvel was this year. Yeah. Like, and that's on top of Endgame.
Right.
So I could see one a year at different times, not necessarily released as tentpoles, as just a Star Wars movie. They have Disney Plus now, which they're utilizing with Marvel. I feel like they're going to utilize. Because, I mean, I would watch an Ahsoka show. I would watch a Stormtrooper show. I would watch a live-action Rebels type show.
Well, like, that's it. Like, we've been promised a live-action Star Wars show for about 12 years. I remember going to my first celebration in 2007, and we were supposed to get a live-action Star Wars show, which, with Disney Plus and The Mandalorian, we finally got. At this point, you can put Star Wars on something and people will consume it, regardless of the medium, regardless of live action cartoon. It doesn't matter. Disney will continue to do that. They have many, many ways they can go, stay in the time period they're in. They can move forward. They can move backwards. It's a little like Westeros. There's a lot of places to go.
And here's where the Rise of Skywalker is kind of this weight lifted off the shoulder. Now that that's all done. And
now that they don't have to address Luke Skywalker, yeah.
That they don't have to tie into this story. Now you have that freedom where there doesn't have to be a bigger picture. You can take chances on people like Lord and Miller and let them do their own Star Wars movie. Let Jon Favreau do a Star Wars movie. There's so much that makes a Star Wars movie, and there's people that understand it, and it might just be different than what they expect, but it's still a Star Wars movie. Let's see those.
And I think you will. Now that Disney owns it, they're not likely to give it up. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is writing a Bond movie, and that's been going for about 60 years. That franchise has been going strong. It's had its ups and downs. The same can be said for Star Wars. I see this being a thing for the rest of my life.
I would not be shocked if there's an episode 10, 11, and 12
Absolutely.
When I have grandkids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they'll rush to it. I think Ridley and Oscar Isaac, I think they're kind of done. Like, I think they feel like they're done at this point. But in 20, 30 years, like, I think they'd be back. Like,
Harrison Ford came back for 2 Star Wars movies. They didn't have a lot to do in Skywalker, but that was a guy that wanted to be killed back in 1983. So if you back a big enough dump truck up to somebody, they will come back. If the story requires it, if the audience wants it. But certainly there will be more Star Wars going forward. There will be more movies on up going forward. Next week, we are going to run down our favorites of 2019. In short succession after that, we'll be running down our favorites of the decade. I've seen a lot of such lists that had The Last Jedi on there.
Yeah.
Not going to make mine.
Basically, the rest of this month is favorites. We have favorites 2019, and then our favorites of 2010 to 2019 is going to split up in 2 episodes.
So we'll be talking a lot of movies over the next couple weeks. We'd love to hear your favorites. You don't have to give us a top 10. you know, give us your couple favorites of this year, a couple favorites of the decade. Those are always fun to see. What it's just Dave and I in this room, and we think pretty similarly. So to know what other people are thinking out there that listen to us, I think would be certainly interesting from my perspective. So if you'd like to do that, tweet at us at Movies On Up. We'll be back next week running down our faves from 2019. So again, Happy New Year, and until then,
keep it up.